Welcome to the first Gamers Live podcast, or at least a podcast-related recording, because it's an unofficial podcast at this time. Gamers Live is, of course, the new gaming title we have quietly launched and built under the Times Live banner for the last months. Since lockdown, we cover numerous aspects of the gaming world, local gaming world, with our editorial partners, but are specifically interested in the local gaming scene, its esports stars, its game developers, the movers and shakers, while not at all ignoring the very real businesses being built in South Africa and around gaming. I'm your host, Scott Peter Smith, head of video and audio in the Arena Group, alongside being publisher of Gamers Live, and we are starting today with a chat with Tabo Tsolo, otherwise known as Pingo in these hallowed gaming circles. Tabo is going to tell us a little more about Dobo Dash, 3D combat racing game, with a social angle related to informal waste pickers. I'll get into who you are and sort of your background a little bit later, but I thought we can dive into the game. Maybe you just want to start off by telling me a little bit about Dobo Dash and what the game is.
All right, cool. So Dobo Dash is a 3D racing combat game about informal waste pickers that go around neighborhoods scratching through dustbins, looking for recycled materials that they can recycle for profit, to make money. So yeah, that's essentially the game, and yeah, that's where we got the inspiration to develop Dobo Dash.
So when you say that you got the inspiration for it, what do you mean by that? So why did you choose that particular subject matter?
Okay, so on Thursdays, these guys come around my neighborhood, and I've seen them a few times, and we were always disconnected. Like the people living in this area, myself included, we just saw these people as like guys digging through our bins, and we never knew like their story or anything like that. Until one day, my dad brought one of them in the house, and we gave him a cup of coffee and some bread, and we had a conversation with him. And we connected, and he was telling us from Lesotho, and he came to South Africa looking for a job or to help out his family. And then I asked him, like, how much you make and, you know, these kind of questions and how, like, what are the risks involved? And he shared so much with me that we ended up connecting. I was like, wow, these guys are actually doing so much for the environment and for themselves that they should get, like, you know, some form of recognition. And that's where I got the inspiration of how we gamify these guys' lives and show people or introduce the world to these unsung heroes and show them what they're doing and how people can also engage or get involved in this recycling industry. So that's where the inspiration came from.
Okay, cool. But tell me a little bit more about the technicals behind the game. Was it just yourself? How many people were involved? How long did it take you?
All right, cool. So the team consists of seven main guys, and then we had additional, I think, four other support groups, supporting resources that we got from Simulacron that helped us in the design space, in the 3D, 2D design. So we did a bit of animating as well in our team. And yeah, so I think roughly the team consists of, I'd say, 11 people in total, and we had a year to work on this game. So,
okay, so you had 11 people in total, say seven more guys, seven main guys. What were kind of the roles? Let's go through that very quickly. What did the guys different do? What kind of different jobs did you need to get the game off the ground?
All right, cool. So the seven main guys. So let me explain how it all started, and then just to give you a sense of where we come from and how we got to the product that we have today. So we started out as an enterprise development, which was sponsored by Stantec, and we incubated at Simulacron. And we rallied up a bunch of creatives outside of the gaming industry too. It was sort of like a test to see if we can design games outside of like the existing gaming professions that are there, you know? So getting a bunch of creatives and like also like getting a bunch of creatives to develop games and getting like assistance from other game developers as well. So my team consisted of seven guys. There was me, who was a game designer, had the experience of game design. I've created a few other games myself. We have two sound designers. who have worked on the soundtrack of Dapper Dash and all the sound effects that you hear. We had a brand strategist, so he's a guy who's been handling our brand, our business brand, the marketing of the game, etc. We have two cinematographers and photographers, so they've been handling the research, taking pictures, referencing videos, and they also worked on some of the UI and HUD. So these are like the 2D sprites that you see in the game. And then we have a writer. So he's been assisting me out with the writing of the story, the narrative, and some of the game levels, which we're currently working on right now. So that's the seven guys that we started with.
So the demo that I've seen that you sent to me, so there's more to come? You guys are still building more onto that, or?
Yeah, for sure. So right now we in talks about an extension with Simbahong and Zentech, where we're going to develop the game even further, taking it to mobile and other platforms. So the end goal is to get it on mobile and have that recycling element in the game as part of the gameplay, where you can scan a bottle or a can or a piece of paper and it translates as actual points in the game, which you can use to purchase other characters, open up game modes. So that's what we're working towards right now.
Okay, that's an interesting mechanic. Do you want to tell me a little more about that? So how does that work exactly, and how does that relate to the game?
So think of it as Pokemon Go. I don't know if you've played it or if you're aware of it. Yeah, so we want to include that AR functionality to kind of get people actively involved in recycling. So we don't want it to be a game where you're just racing around and you're literally not contributing to recycling, or it's just a message that you get. We want people to physically go out there, collect trash and scan it and put it in the game so that they can get more points in the game. So they're actively recycling and having fun at the same time. So, and I feel like that's an advantage that we have over any other game. That's if we realize this vision that we are actually saving the world and making it fun, consciously and subconsciously as well. So, yeah.
And you told me you're launching the game at Comic-Con this year.
Yes.
Who are you launching with? Like, how's the publishing of that working? How's that mechanic working?
So we entered the Comic-Con Springbok, Project Springbok. Competition, and they have like an indie game section, and yeah, we submitted our game and we asked them to check it out. They liked it a lot, and yeah, they approved the game, and they basically they'll be handling all of the publishing, the announcements, everything on Dapper Dash, the game, and we'll be like doing our own publishing on the side, but as the studios, as Space Satellite Studios.
Okay, so let's talk about you a little bit. What's your background? Where are you from? What did you study? What's your interest in gaming?
All right. So I'm from the south of Johannesburg, in Haddon. It's really, really small. So my interest in gaming, I did a lot of things, growing up. So I have like my parents are like activists, you know, they involved in one of the biggest lawsuits in the world. Not in the world, in Africa, suing one of the biggest companies. So I grew up in that environment where I saw things differently. I was forced to see things differently and question. So I started out drawing political cartoons, you know, for newspapers. I actually got one of my cartoons published on the Daily Maverick. I think I was still in high school. I got a couple of other cartoons published, and yeah, my dream at the time was to be a cartoonist and work with Piero, you know, get mentored by him and all that stuff. And then roles switched when I left high school and I went to college. I wanted a better way of expressing my views and telling my stories without being limited to 2D or the satire that comes with the political cartoons. And I went into animation. And from animation, I created more stories using my satire background and the stories that I wanted to tell. And yeah, I released a couple of cartoons. I released one about load shedding and a witch doctor that controls the electricity, and she has to perform some rituals. And yeah, that was really dope. It was a piece for Cartoon Network, and at that point, I was like not satisfied because I had reached like another ceiling. Because I was like, okay, now I can tell people, but people cannot engage with my stories the way I'd like them to. So that's when I stumbled into gaming, because that was part of my course in college. And I noticed that with gaming, I can tell my stories. And
we interrupt this program with a barking dog.
Yeah, my pups. Sorry. So from there on, I wanted a platform where I can tell my stories and allow people to engage. So sort of like immerse them in what else I'm feeling or what I'm seeing. So gaming was the best way of doing that and expressing myself. And ever since then, I haven't looked back.
Yeah, so you got attracted by the immersion of gaming, hey? The engagement and the immersion, yeah, absolutely, man. Proper multimedia type stuff. So at what point did you get involved with the Tumakolong guys? How did that come about?
So the Tumakolong, we got involved with them as soon as we started with the enterprise development. So they were the guys that were hosting us, providing us with everything that we need, the assistance, the support, the mentoring, everything that you see in the game and then some, you know, because I told you we have a very diverse group and I was the only game designer at the time, you know, so the support that we got from Simlocho was purely on that basis where they had to develop our business, develop our product. And yeah, become the link between us and Santec, and yeah, teach us basically what we know. So that's the relationship. It started last year when we started into enterprise development.
So your experience sounds like it's been largely positive in the sort of indie game space. You got funded. Like I said, I've been tiptoeing around the indie game scene for at least 5-6 years or so. Done a few stories on quite a number of the guys. Latest ones I did was I'm sure you know Semblance, the game Semblance.
Yeah, yeah.
Did quite an extensive piece on them. Yeah, the Nyamakop guys. You know, there's quite a few other sort of smaller developers that are doing real interesting work. Not all of them get funded. Not all of them get a bit of space and movement into the kind of art they want to produce. I know that Thorsten and his Amaze Festival did a lot for the local indie game scene. I think if Thorsten hadn't come here back in, when was that, 2012 was the first one, I don't think the indie game scene would have been as far along as it could have been. What are your views on the South African indie dev scene? Challenges, opportunities moving forward, any sort of, I mean, do you want to move into developing this into a studio, like a full-time studio? What are your feelings there?
So the challenges, there's a lot there, you know. I'm privileged, you know, to have gotten this opportunity to get sponsored, you know, at such an early age, you know, because I know Ben and Sugar and a bunch of other studios that have been like trying to get studios or have been hustling and they've produced, I think, amazing work, you know. I think the challenges in the game, the indie game scene is a lot, like, especially in this country, but speaking to Thorsten and a bunch of other international developers, it seems like this is a common problem and funding is like one of the biggest, you know. But we, like I said, we've been privileged to get a sponsor like Santec and get guys like Simulacom to help us out however they can to develop this gaming community. But besides even the funding, you know, skills shortage is a big problem. You know, there's a lot of animators, there's a lot of designers, but what we've noticed when we were busy with this enterprise development is that you can be an animator, you can be a designer, but game design has like its own specific skills that you have to understand, or principles and functions. And that's what we noticed. And that's where I feel like we have a big gap in the industry, is getting the right personnel to help you out with the game and develop it to a standard that everyone is part of and that's happy with. You know what I mean? I guess another challenge I'd say is time and understanding and knowledge. You know, I feel that because game industry is a fairly new industry in the country, even in the world to some extent, you know, like if you're not talking triple A studios, you know, the indie guys, it's still a new development. A lot of old folks or like parents, like my parents, I'm blessed to have parents who were supportive and like, forward thinking, that they allowed me to pursue this dream in gaming. But I've heard like all over the world that parents don't understand, you know, or old people don't understand this whole gaming thing, you know, and that support, you know, if you don't get that kind of support at home or from people around you and people don't understand what gaming is about, you know, you run into a lot of problems where you gotta, before even making the game, you gotta prove yourself, you know, you gotta prove yourself 1,000 times over that this is a game, this is what the potential it has, this is what we can do with it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think for me, those are the biggest challenges I see. What was your other question?
Well, how do you want to move forward? So Double Dash, kind of, you know, you launch it, you've got extra layers and sort of levels on that, and you know, there's at some point you're going to say, okay, what's the next project? You get funded by Centec or, you know, you get support from other bodies. How do you see this moving forward over the next couple of years for yourself? You want to make a go of a studio, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, we currently registered studio, which is great. That's like the vision right now, that we want to become one of the best indie game studios out there that creates like original content that is, it's like, it's local, like Dopa Dash is like a local concept, but it also has a possibility to go international. And I think that's our next move right now. You see things like, participating in Comic Con and, other events that are coming and having interviews like this. We're trying to break out of South Africa, because what I've noticed and what I've been hearing from local indie game developers is that you need to make a name for yourself internationally, because locally it's going to be very, very, very difficult for you to firstly sustain, run a sustainable business and also like make money and get that traction that you need. So the next goal or the dream right now is to go international and see how we can sell this concept to Asia, Europe, America, you know, because we all have a recycling, we all face this recycling challenge, but we have to find what other countries are doing so that we can integrate it or appeal to their market, you know what I mean? Street Surfers might not be the thing. How do we then find what they like? But I guess the one thing that unites us all is we want to fight global warming or climate change. Yeah.
Have you been chatting to any of the developers in other African countries as opposed to Europe or Asia? There's actually quite a lot of action going on actually.
Yeah. There's a bunch of things. So I'm involved in an organization called Enter Africa. So it's an organization that started in 2017, and it consists of 15 different African countries, and it was a program that started by the Goethe Institute. I'm not sure if you've heard of them. So yeah, so these guys are a bunch of game developers and other creators in these African countries that have networks in the gaming scene. So we've been chatting a lot. I've been chatting to a lot of developers in that sense, but again, it's like, I'm not sure if, I don't know, maybe this is what I've like, this is my personal view on like when I engage with other African countries. There's a lot of restrictions that I don't understand. Firstly, that there's a lot of political, social, you know, there's a lot of issues that we face as African countries, you know, that unite us but also divide us. So right now, when I communicate with these guys, I'm trying to find out how we can have like a blanket or like a single tool that we can use or maybe if it, the platform might be gaming, whatever, that we can use where we can communicate these ideas and we can engage with each other in a way that it does not hurt the existing cut, like the existing economic, social, or political systems that are operating in their country. So yeah, it's a pretty difficult one. And I think also I'm still a small guy in the industry, you know, still starting out, you know, I'm not yet as big, or I don't have as much power to make that much of a change or impact or reach out to as many people as I'd like to. But yeah, I'm hoping that with this game and games that are going to be coming after, I would be able to make that change and unite, you know, all of the game designers in Africa, and we create like one big game, or we have one big esports tournament, or, you know, just we all jam together and it's fun, and it's, you know, we can all share our stories. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll get there. I think you're thinking about it in the right way. It's a nice ambition. Tavo, yeah, thanks so much for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, man. Cheers. Ciao. You've been listening to Tabo, a.k.a. Pingo Tsolo, and we await his game, Doba Dash. I'm Scott Peter Smith. This is Gamers Live, and you can check out more podcasts and other things we do here on the Times Live website, or find us on Iono, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other platforms where you listen to your podcasts. Goodbye, good night, good luck, and the last one up, please turn off the console.